Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everyone. Welcome to PGN Tuesday evening. It is July 13th, I think it is. Thank you so much for joining me. I don't know, there's a weird thing that happened between my computer and so Blog Talk kind of cued me that we were live. So I don't know if there was a little, that was strange. I've never seen that happen before. So welcome, welcome, welcome. So glad that you're here. It's a blessing and a privilege to be amongst you, to pray together in faith unto our all-powerful, all-authority, to our Lord, who is all-knowing, all-powerful, and ever, ever-present. Well, thank you again so much for joining us. I was asking the Lord, I just feel like I have so much going on with just moving, you know, getting everything settled, changing your address, to all, you know, all these different things, so many things to do to get resettled back in. And as always, I'm, you know, always asking the Lord about, you know, what he would want to speak or what would he want me to share. And this morning, so the interesting thing was this morning that the Lord spoke something to me on the driveway when I was out front. And so I was kind of pondering that all day. And then when I sat down to just write a couple notes, I pulled out my notebook and I realized the Lord was showing me something else on Saturday. So I was like, oh, okay. But I'm just going to go with what the Lord spoke to me on the driveway this morning, which was this. He said, I was actually looking at our address, so I'm not going to share the numbers or anything, but, you know, the numbers were on the garage, you know, they put them or on the house. And so I was looking at the numbers and just like kind of talking to the Lord and about the numbers, you know. And I had looked them up before when we first, you know, we had the lot number and then the house number, and I had looked that up early on. Well, but I was looking at the numbers and just pondering something, and then I heard the Lord say this verse to me, but it was in, I had to actually come back and find the verse in its entirety to get the whole verbiage. So it's verse 4 in Psalm 8, and he says, what is man that you are mindful of him? And the Son of Man, that you would visit him. Psalm 8, verse 4. That's what he spoke. And this psalm, let me just go to this other version real quick to highlight and reiterate. Something about the psalm is that it is written by David, as many of them were. And it says the psalm, the Davidic psalm based on Genesis 1, which we know that is all creation, celebrates not only God's majesty as creator, but also the unique place of human beings in his creation. So I thought that is, I don't know that we ponder that enough, but that is a good thing to ponder. And you know, when we were here, I was thinking, well, when we moved in here, I was thinking, or before that, like I would like to get some fruit-bearing trees, and I'm not sure how to plant them or if I should leave them in a bucket. I'm thinking I should leave them in a big bucket, and I'm not sure what, I have to figure out which way the sunlight that we do have that passes through the yard, bearing tree, and that the, you know, that I would utilize the fruit from the tree as well. But I had been thinking about that, and I had, you know, we were walking in the neighborhood and we see some neighbors have these little things next to their garage, like little planters up off the ground. I guess they may be rabbits. I don't know. I haven't seen any. But they have, it's a vegetable. It's like a little vegetable garden, abbreviated version. And I love tomatoes. Well, I love tomatoes really that are only homegrown and fresh, like that type of garden type of tomato. I do enjoy that and like that a lot. So I was thinking, oh, a tomato. I would love to have a tomato, a garden fresh tomato. Well, yesterday. So my husband went on an appointment. He came back from a client. He met a client that he knew. I mean, he had previous contact, friendship with him. And he came back and he brought two huge tomatoes with him, and they were homegrown. He's like, hey, he grew these in his garden for you. And my husband does not eat tomatoes, so they're all mine. I was like, oh, wow, oh, my gosh, thank you so much. And then today he called again, and he said, wow, I met and it was the funny thing was he met another client, and that client gave him four tomatoes, okay, so twice as much as the day before. And the funny thing was is that both of these clients, they, I don't think they know each other, but they actually are both in the same line of work, and they both grow tomatoes. So so he said, hey, I have four of them, but he had to go meet a friend of his, a builder. He said, do you mind if I offer him two tomatoes? Because now, you know, you're going to have all these tomatoes. I said, oh, yeah, that's fine. If he wants some, you know, to just let him have whatever he wants. So anyways, they're delicious, okay? And I was eating it, and I was thinking it. And then because it happened 2 days in a row and it doubled, I thought, hmm, that's interesting. I'm going to kind of bring that before the Lord and see. I looked up in my symbol book what tomato is. Nobody was throwing them at me or anything. But the tomato has, it says kindness and generosity. And I do feel like the Lord is extending himself in that way when we seek him and when we seek even to know him and to know his ways and to know his will. And when we sow, say, when we steward the things that he's given us, even if he's given us the ability to pray for another, to pray for someone else's family, to share our food, to, you know, give somebody a ride to church, whatever it might be that we steward, you know, whether it's our time or our gifts or just, you know, even our love and our sacrifices and whatever that offering is. But when we steward that, and even forgiveness, accepting forgiveness, we are showing God's kindness and generosity as an expression of him. So back to verse 8 of Psalm, not verse 8, Psalm 8. So the glory of the Lord in creation. O Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth, who have set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have ordained strength because of your enemies, that you may silence the enemy and the avenger. You know, I was reading today a commentary on that, is that he uses young ones like that. Like even the birth of an infant is such a miracle and God ordained, and there's, you know, no one can wrap anything else around. It's not some intelligent rock that brought us into being. Okay. And, because it does silence the enemy, there's nothing more they can say. There's no other claim they can make, you know, they can try to make it scientific, but it just really doesn't hold water. And it silences the enemies, like his miracles and creation and children silence the enemy. When I consider, verse 3, when I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what is man that you're mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him? So even that, even creation, like trees, my father-in-law used to love to just look at the different trees and the birds and nature. And my husband loves nature. You know, the Lord, he gave us these things to enjoy. He was mindful of us even when he created the heavens, even when he created the stars and the moon, okay? Beautiful, beautiful. Even when he created those, he was mindful of us. For you have made him a little lower than angels, and have you crowned him with glory and honor. He literally crowns us with glory and honor because we are part of his handiwork, part of his creation and his image. We bear his image and his likelihood, his likeness. You have made him to have dominion over the work of your hands. Yeah, he's given us dominion in the land. Thank you, Jesus. You have put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, even the beasts of the field, the birds of the air, and the fish of the sea that pass through the paths of the sea. O Lord, O Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. Yeah, I mean, if you can't see Jesus in the earth. So he's established it all, and he gives attention and care to us on earth. Okay? So even these little tomato plants, or the tomato, you know, the gifting of tomatoes 2 days in a row. And I think the Lord did it so that it would be noticeable, not only to me, but to John, and really get our attention that it was the Lord that was doing that, and he was multiplying it out of his kindness and his generosity, that he's doing that and really not wanting us to miss it. So we were taking a walk this evening together, and before the vlog talk, and I found a penny in a driveway, and actually, this is why it had my attention, is because it was the very home that actually brought us to this neighborhood where we started looking on that Thursday night. And I was asking the Lord, is this where you want us? So if this penny was anywhere else, I probably would have picked it up, but I wouldn't have maybe thought it was prophetic. I don't know that I would have looked up even what the penny was. But I pick up pennies because I'm humble. The Lord for his bountiful blessings that continue to flow to us. But sometimes I'll just say that prayer. Thank you, Lord, for your bountiful blessings that continue to flow. Well, the penny has to do with advancement, which I do feel like there was an advancement. That home brought us here to this neighborhood, but then it opened up the door of advancement, you know, for a different location, which is ironically right down the street. But so the verse that was connected to that was Deuteronomy 28:12, and John and I were married on the 28th of October, but that is the 28th. So verse 12 says, he will open up the reservoirs of water in the sky and make the rainy seasons come each year so that everything you do will be blessed. Your produce will be so abundant. Oh, wow, I didn't think of that, the produce. We literally had produce in the tomatoes. Your produce will be abundant so that your produce will be so abundant that you will lend to many nations, but you will not borrow from any. Okay, produce. Okay, so yes, rainy seasons in the desert, Israel, very important. Okay, well, thank you. I'm not even sure what all that means, but I'm just thankful for the Lord for speaking to me, and even this thing about who is Son of Man, that he is mindful, of us, you know, and that's good. That's good that he cares for our hearts, and he gives attention to it, and he knows what's tucked in there. And he draws it out as a good father does and a good father wills, as he draws those things out of our heart. And he shows his kindness, his generosity, and his loving kindness unto us. So even if you have, you know, with our son moving to another state, you know, there's things in my heart I have tucked in there, you know, that I pray to the Lord. You know, my slight concerns, certainly don't want them to lead to foreboding in any way or any type of sinful worry or anything like that. But but I do have things, you know, in my heart, and it just shows me that the Lord knows that. And so does my son, and he's a good father to even know how to draw out of my son those things that are tucked in his heart. at what is man, you know, as the Son of Man, that he is mindful of us, and he will be mindful of your children and your children's children's children as well. In Jesus' name. So we thank you, Father. Lord, we thank you for, you are such a good Father. You are such a good shepherd. Lord, you're such a good shepherd. Lord, we thank you for finding us. Lord, we thank you, God, that you are mindful of us, Lord. Help us, Lord, not to regret the things that you give us, Lord, the things that you've placed in our life, Lord, the locations where you have us, God. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for the night watch, Lord, that you see, Lord, that there is nothing hidden to you, Lord, that light and darkness are the same to you, that you see all of it, Father. We thank you for that, God. We thank you, Lord, for just exposing things in people's hearts, Lord, that are, Lord, that may wander or drift, Lord, or give credit to the wrong attributions in life, God, whether it be science, Lord, intellect, Lord, Jesus' name, Father, we just thank you, Lord, for, Lord, as a good shepherd, you would heal people, you would bring back the wanderers, those that wander, you would bring them back, in Jesus' name, Lord, I pray for those who are, this is part of being a good shepherd, as in his word says, that you would strengthen the weak, Lord. We ask for strengthening and grace to come to the weak, Lord. We pray for those that are sick, that they would be healed. In Jesus' name, even yet of COVID, God, I just heard recently a family, friends of ours, the entire family got COVID, Lord. So we pray for those that are yet COVID, Lord, those that are sick, Lord, of illnesses, God, Jesus' name, that you would heal them. Jesus' name, Lord, that you would bind up the injured, Lord, those that have emotional, Lord, hurts, Lord, grieving, Lord, over loss of family members and friends, Lord, despair, in Jesus' name, God, that you would bind up those wounds, in Jesus' name. And Lord, as your people, Lord, that we would even cooperate with the Holy Spirit as you search for the lost, Father. And I pray for those, Lord, in the churches, Lord, that they would be good shepherds, Lord, that they would follow you and they would be shepherds, Lord, not only make disciples, they would make shepherds, that the shepherd would make good shepherds and they would shepherd others. God, to strengthen the weak, heal the sick, bind up the injured, bring back the stray, and seek the lost, God. We thank you, Lord, for your commands, Lord, for your word says to be careful not to forget your commands, your law, and your decree in Jesus' name. We pray, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, that decrees would be active in the church, Lord, prayers and decrees, God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, that the word of the Lord would come forth in commands. God, a spirit of commanding, a commanding spirit and a spirit of might would be present in the churches in Jesus' name. We thank you, Father, in Jesus' name, Lord. We thank you for light and revelation knowledge to unlock mysteries, Father. We thank you for it, Lord. We thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. And Lord, may those in the church, God, as well restore first, Lord, to the people, how we are to relate to God, Lord, how we are to relate to God, Lord. And I thank you, Father. I thank you, Lord. Let your word go forth, and it shall not return void, but shall accomplish that in which you purposed it to be, Father. And I pray for those, Lord, Lord, that you would bring conviction where conviction is due, Lord, when those are of the faith, God, Lord, in Jesus' name, Lord, even any undercurrent of like mocking you, God, denying your power in Jesus' name, Lord, that you would deal with them, Lord. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we just thank you. Thank you for that, Father. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Because this looking person, also, Lord, we just dedicate this evening to you. In the name of Jesus, Lord, and we thank you. I just lift up your name. God, may it be glorified and magnified in the name of Jesus, Lord. And I just bless you, Lord, in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord, that I belong to you and you have claims on me. God, you've purchased me, Lord, and you know me full well, Father, in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you, Lord, that you know my going out. You preserve my going out and my coming in, and you know it full well, Father. And I thank you for it. I thank you for your presence, Lord, and your goodness and your mercifulness. And I thank you for your voice. Thank you for your whisper. And I thank you, Lord, for extending your kindness this week, Lord, to us, Lord. I thank you for it. And we ask for your glory this evening, God, and your anointing, that you might be esteemed and magnified in all things, Lord. We thank you for your heart for the people, Lord, to be drawn unto you and knit in love to you, God, abounding more and more to your ways and to your love. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Okay, well, if you are dialed in this evening, we thank you and praise you for being here tonight. And you can press 1 on your keypad at any time, and we will open up the phone lines to minister to you. I was kind of feeling a little bit, I don't know if the word is down today, but a little bit, no, like a little bit melancholy, I guess, is the best way to describe it. And I wasn't even sure if that was happening today and what, like I almost was going to just take the night off, to be honest. Like that's what I kind of felt like, is that, that type of thing. Like, I don't know what was happening. A little bit of a sadness, a little bit of a, I guess sadness, a little bit of a grieving almost, like it was, I don't know, I'm not sure I could put my finger on it, so I didn't know if that had anything related to anybody listening or not, but yeah, so there's that. Okay, well, thank you. Okay, we're going to open up the phone lines, and again, if you're just joining us and dialing in, go ahead and press 1 on the keypad, and thank you for joining us, and it is a privilege to pray for you in Jesus' name. So 814-258, good evening. Who am I speaking to? Where are you calling from?
Hello, this is Greg from Pennsylvania.
Greg from PA.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you for joining us. Have I prayed for you before?
I don't think so.
Hmm.
Not that I remember.
Okay, well, thank
you
so much.
I've been on these calls once. I come from time to time, but usually I just sit and listen.
Okay. Gotcha. All right, well, thank you so much for joining us. Thank you. Excuse me. Father, I just lift up Greg to you, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord. I thank you, Lord, just for your point of contact with him, God. I thank you, Lord, that it's even like pinpointed. Excuse me, pinpointed in the place that he has you. It's actually zeroed in and pinpointed. And it can like go like with a circumference, like I'm seeing it on a location, a specific location. I don't know if that's a map or a specific location. Anyways, I see it pinpointed on there. And then, you know, that thing where you can draw a complete circle around it. but it's literally has a spot, like it's pinpointed where the Lord would have you. And I don't know if you even feel like you're going in circles or if it's, but I see like there can be movement, but it's like where the Lord has you and pinpointed something specific. There's something very specific there that's pinpointed that must be very significant. Otherwise, you know, he wouldn't let go of it. But I see that it's all going to lead back to where he has this, like, point of, maybe I called it something else when I first, but a pinpointed place. Point of action, point. So, thank you, Lord, for that, God. I thank you, Lord, for your work, Lord, and that is sustaining, Lord, that is his portion, and it is, you know, I mean, it might even be connected to part of his promise for you. So I thank you for that, Father.
Amen.
For just, for how you have him and the working in that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Yeah,
thank
I don't
you.
Know if it's I don't know if there's a timing thing on it. There might be a timing thing on that too. That's going to bring you to that pinpoint thing as well. But
I pray with a lot of different ministries online, so that might be the circle. And usually though, in my own personal life, there's a couple of things that God, I believe, is calling me to do, and it kind of that's kind of like where I am in my own life. So although I participate in other ministries, I'm trying to develop my own. You know,
yeah.
I have some things that really nobody else is doing, and you know, and really, I don't know if it fits in, but, you know, you were saying about feeling down today, and over the last couple of weeks, God's really been teaching me, and I've been looking into how to encourage myself a lot.
Uh-huh.
You know, because a lot of the, it seems like you don't get your needs met by a lot of the prayer calls. I know, like, I know one of the things I like about Randy's ministry is he wasn't involved with, I guess, the big Trump movement, and neither was I. I got a lot of warnings that he also wouldn't win. However, a lot of the prayer calls that I'm on will not give it up. So that's been a place of discouragement for me.
Right.
So that's
right.
One of the reasons why I've been learning diligently how to encourage myself. And although I was reading, you know, I went through a lot of Bible marathons, but just recently, the Lord's been moving me into affirmations, you know, really speaking everything from confidence to happiness, and that's really changed. So I'm grateful for that. That might be one of the pinpoints.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, it was something, I don't know if I was picking up, I didn't really know if I truly was feeling that way or if it was something I was picking up in the spirit, you know, because I was trying to think, like, well, what, I mean, because sometimes I'll just ask, like, what am I feeling? And, I mean, the Lord has done that before with me before, you know, and like, use actually my emotions in a intercessory type of way, you know, and that's what I was trying to discern today. Yeah, because I didn't know that there's really nothing. Yeah, I'm just not sure how I mean, there was somewhat of a transition that happened, but I don't know that I just don't know. I was just trying to, but I hear what you're saying, and I will heed that. But I was just trying to see one other time.
It made
I was,
sense to me. It made sense to me.
Yeah. One other time where I really felt something, and I felt like, and then I felt like the Lord told me, this was a few years ago, to, I forget what I was feeling. I can't actually put my words around what I was feeling at the time. This was a few years ago. And but the Lord told me to go to Publix and buy a chicken, you know, like one of those rotisserie chickens. So I was like, okay, but then it came stronger. Like I had this stronger unction of this emotion, and then the strength, like you need to go tonight and get the chicken, the rotisserie. And I did, and I ran into a woman that I know that does intercessory prayer, and I was just talking to her, and when I ran into her, and she was discouraged, like what I was feeling, like I described how I was feeling, and she said, no, that's what I'm feeling. And I know the Lord had me run into her, for I said, well, let me tell you, the Lord told me to come to the grocery store and to, you know, and I ran into her, and anyways, I prayed for her. It was very encouraging for her and lifted her spirits, but it was like the Lord was caring for her and even her emotions and whatever this burden was that she was carrying, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And somehow he used me to come alongside of her and to carry part of it, you know, to lift and to carry part of her burden. So that's what I was trying to discern this evening.
Amen.
Amen. So, but praise God for his promises on your life, that he will, that it's pinpointed and it is purposed that he, that would be fulfilled, you know.
Amen. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you. God bless you.
Bless you.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you. Okay. Well, praise the Lord. You know, and I was sharing that. I was thinking, again, it just made me think of the verse and how many different ways that the Lord reaches us when he does say, again, man, that you are mindful of him, and the Son of Man, that you would visit him. And just his unique ways that he speaks prophetically, even in intercession, how he reveals himself, and the things that he cares about, and the things that he restores, the things that he reconciles. It really is beautiful. And when, you know, it really is incredible when people share a story of how the Lord, you know, got their attention, how they returned back to the Lord. That's very, very good. And the Lord cares even about the generations. And, even from the Old Testament to the New Testament, it is generation to generation, household to household. You know, Cornelius and him and his whole entire household was saved. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, it's always families. It's always intended that way, and to carry on and to be established and to be united in faith and purposeful in teaching those things and purposeful talking about those things. Even to your grandchildren, you know, and being able to communicate with family in a way that, like you're establishing and planting these seeds, and these things are growing. And, you know, many times there's forgiveness, many times there's, and families at large, forgiveness, and, reconciliation, just walking through the reconciliation of that, you know, and confronting and talking about that, and not letting pride win, not letting Yeah. Not letting the enemy win or have a foothold of resentment or bitterness. Yeah. So you can see, yes. Yes. So the nature and nurturing of the Holy Spirit in our root system causes us to grow, right? So even our faith, when it takes action with obedience, is bringing maturity. And that's how we're stewarding, you know, and growing is by faith, our actions and obedience are going to bring about maturity. And then we learn from that and we steward even our sufferings, you know, and the latter part of Colossians 1 talks about that. And so that we help other people in that, how the Lord met them and seen them. And, you know, I just thought of something else. So while at the same intercessor friend, her niece came into town. And I needed to get two cards, like a birthday card and an anniversary card or something like that. And the Lord specifically told me to go to this one grocery store, which when I looped around where we lived, it wasn't the most convenient store for me, but it was near my house. And to go in there and get these two cards. And when I did, the same intercessor that I just talked about with the rotisserie chicken was in there with her niece. And her niece was actually riding in one of the carts, like sometimes you see the elderly people ride in. And there was something wrong with her foot, and she was going to be having surgery on it. And I know the Lord sent me to that store to want to run into them because it was the wildest thing. And we ran in, and I told her grocery store to buy these carts. And so when I ran into her, I said, well, can I pray for you? The girl, and I just treated her like she was a Christian. And I mean, I think she was just coming into the realization and the knowledge of Jesus saving her soul. And I said, I grabbed her hand. I said, let me just grab your hand and pray for you. And I did. And anyway, she ended up having the surgery and recovering. It was a little bit of a process. I guess she was there with her aunt to help her. Gail was her aunt, and she was going to help her in part of the recovery process. But she hadn't been able to walk for some time. And she was a younger girl. I mean, in her late teens, maybe 20. And she ended up recovering and being able to walk. And I think she was very nervous and very scared about the operation and going through that process, and just meeting her in the store like that was like God meeting her, and the God that goes before her and cared for her and led her out to victory. So praise God for that. Sorry, my microphone was hitting my necklace. So praise the Lord. Hey, if you're joining us and you'd like prayer, just press 1 on your keypad. And be happy to pray for you. And I'd like to share, since I have some time too, I'm going to share Saturday morning. A lot of times I've found in the past, Saturday morning is a good time for the Holy Spirit and I to gather, to connect, for Him to speak to me. Well, this past Saturday, I woke up at 2:22. So it was 2 a.m. and 22 minutes. 2:22. I woke up at 2:22. And if you've been, you know, listening on Tuesday night for any length of time, that is certainly a number that the Lord has used several times. Okay, several times, especially over this past year for me, and even just a lot of different things. Okay. So I'm not going to, even some things I talked about last week as well. So when I woke up, I was like, oh man, I know the Lord is, you know, just praying and seeking the Lord, even regarding that number. And so I had opened my Bible. I sat in my chair that I'm sitting in now, And I opened my Bible, and there was a note card in there. When I go to church, I take notes on like a 4x6 index card, and then I kind of keep them together. And on the index card was a message where the Lord, okay, where the Lord started showing me, well, it wasn't the first time, but like really getting my attention to seek him about the number 222. And that had been coming up again. On the way to church, I was asking the Lord about the number 222. And I seen a door and one of the apartment complexes or like the duplexes right before we pulled into church, literally on the door was the number, I think it was either 22 or 222. And I said, well, that's interesting. It has something to do with the door, like the Lord was showing me. And I know it's the keys, okay, for open door in Isaiah 22:22. Okay, it's given us the keys to the house of David. But literally on the door was a 22. So it had my attention before I went in. And the message that was talked about that day was literally talking about the sheep door and that the Lord is the gate and the door to the sheep, okay, and that that door is open. And I was like, oh, my gosh. So on my notes, I had put literally where I just opened my Bible, but on my 4x6 card, on the note card, I noticed were notes from a previous message regarding the great shepherd, the good shepherd, and that the sheep door or the gate, some people say the gate, the sheep, and what it means to be a good shepherd, which are some of the things that I was praying about, you know, about strengthening the weak, healing the sick, binding up the injured, bringing back the stray, and searching for the lost. And those things are talked about in Ezekiel 34. Yes, and he wants the people to remember to be careful, or verse 2, to part of the essence in that, when I talked about priesthood a while ago, was for the to restore first how we relate to God. So I just thought it was interesting that he definitely had it right in front of me again, this message from John 10:10, John 10:11-21. Okay, the good shepherd looks after his scattered flock. And when he's with them, so I will look after my sheep. I will rescue them from all the places where they were scattered on the day of clouds and darkness. Okay, so that might be talking about the time to come. However, in John 10, verses 1 through 6, verse 12 talks about the wolves. The wolves in sheep's clothing. Well, wolves, W-O-L-F-S, attack the flock and they scatter it. So do you, let me ask you this, friends, PGN friends, do you know people who are scattered that are believers? Okay, they're believers and they're in faith, but they're kind of scattered in the faith and they're not really maybe connected specifically to a church. Maybe they're kind of like underground or under the grid, you know, off the grid a little bit, where, you know, they might have a home church they do on the computer, but they're off the grid of anyone really knowing them or having fellowship with the body of Christ or being seen amongst the church body. Okay, well, I wonder if they've been in contact with a wolf, right? I just wonder. So to be a good shepherd would be to help heal them and to bind up the injured, right? And to bring them back. This is being a good shepherd in the heart of God. We read this in the heart of God. He tells us to feed his sheep, feed my sheep, teach them about me, teach them about the Holy Spirit, Jesus called himself a good shepherd. He actually even called himself a great shepherd. He had compassion on the crowds because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And the image of God as a shepherd begins with Jacob and ends in Revelation 7:17. Yeah, so when they're all gathered around the throne, and the Lamb of God, and he is a good shepherd. He's the shepherd that causes us, you know, to, he gathers them, right? He gathers them in. He doesn't scatter them. He gathers them. He does not scatter. Yeah. So I know a lot of people. I mean, first, let me say, like, I know a lot of people who have been scattered, unfortunately. I do. I do know a lot of people who have seemed to be scattered amongst the body of Christ. Okay, so we just pray for them to come back and that the Lord would use us to, you know, to be patient with them. He says to be patient with those who are weak in their faith. So if, you know, to be patient with them, right? Because we want their faith to grow. We want it to be strengthened. And the Lord, let me look up a verse here. Okay. Okay. I'm not doing something right here. Let me check the slides back. There we go. It keeps wanting to bring me back about okay, the great shepherd is in Hebrews 13:20-21. Our Lord Jesus is a great shepherd of the sheep, the God who gives peace, brought him back from the dead. He gives peace. The God who gives peace brought him back from the dead. He did it because the blood of the eternal covenant, which that exactly reminds me of Colossians 1:20. May God supply you everything good. Then you can do what he wants. May he do in us what is pleasing to him. We can do it only with the help of Jesus Christ. Give him glory forever and ever. Amen. Yeah, that's for sure. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Okay, let me just go to John 10:10 and read a little bit about Lord will speak revelation and knowledge and just share things through his counsel, like, and through a word of knowledge. And when he does that, you know, sometimes I know it can be so sure and so true within us, but when he comes with his wisdom, his counsel and his wisdom, or maybe his might, so let me just talk about that for a second. When he comes with his wisdom or his counsel, it is to show us either something we need to pray for them. Maybe that person's not even aware of it. And maybe, you know, that they are, you know, so if it's the counsel of the Lord, that means he's, you know, showing you something through his wisdom is attached to it. But the counsel of the Lord is that it is going to be, like, you're going to hold that confidence before him. You're not going to just, like, blab or tell other people or say, hey, the Lord showed me this, this person's dealing with this, or, you know, I actually heard one person say this. This was, to me, this was a little bit ridiculous. I think this is arrogant. I can't believe I'm even saying this. I did not plan to say this, but they said the Lord showed them about this particular person that within 3 years they were going to, like, commit adultery or something like that, like something in their marriage. It's going to go completely awry and completely, or that it already did happen or it was going to happen within 3 years, or it did, and something of the sort, okay? There is no, see, sometimes our own opinion or our own, really our own opinion, our own bias, our own unctions can lead us to deceive us and lead us astray with the word of knowledge. So if there's no facts about that, they don't have any facts on that, but you're speaking, I don't, that's not kosher. With, that does not sit right with me. And that doesn't feel like the counsel of the Lord to be telling everybody else except the person, you know, not even confronting the person, and, you know, in a confidence, like holding that confidence, you know what I'm saying, that holding it confidential is what I'm trying to say. You know, if the counsel of the Lord is on it, there's a confidence in it, confidence meaning confidential, that you keep that and he guides you according to his wisdom. If there's a spirit of might on it, there's probably a breaker spirit that you're going to break off of that person. And even if you're dreaming, like it is so, and you break that up and you do, and you're done with it, you still keep the confidence. If something comes up in a conversation and that you know them well enough, or you've asked the Lord if you can confront them, is this something I need to confront them with? Or do I just bear in the spirit, be a shepherd in the spirit, and shepherd that thing as the Lord would do, okay, and just take care of it. But if you don't have any facts and you don't have any, then you can't say, no, that's just not, that doesn't sit right with me. That does not at all. Just doesn't. Because sometimes people can pick up on things that are, again, like their bias, or they might have some worldly unctions or worldly functions, even in their own life, that it's being filtered through their perception. You know, my husband has different groups of men that he hangs around with, and some of them, like, they will kiss on Saturday morning, and some, and they're just different. So, but he'll tell me sometimes, like, some of the, I don't even know if he, I would call it even counsel that he gets from someone, but sometimes I have to ask him when he shares something, because I don't hear in my spirit the wisdom of God on it. It feels like the ways of the world are on it. And so I'll have to say and ask him, like, what group are you hearing this from? Do you think it's being filtered through their perspective? Because if they're filtering and functioning of things in the world, their thought pattern is going to come from that, and they're going to try to filter out and strain wisdom from the things of the world or the things that they're even participating in, to be quite frankly and honest. So so we have to be really careful with that. And so sometimes there's going to be, when the Lord does speak to you, his counsel and his wisdom, it is probably many things that you're going to bring to your grave with you that you prayed for him, you know, that you did it before him as a servant, and you're stewarding the word. You're stewarding the word of wisdom. You're stewarding the word of knowledge when it comes to counsel in that manner. A spirit of might. One time in a intercession meeting, there was a man that was there. Actually, it was double. Actually, when I sat next to these two men, both their names were Rick. And so it just dawned on me because that whole tomato thing got doubled. But sometimes when the Lord's really trying to get my attention, he'll double it. He'll double things. Even when he's trying to get my attention, like I'll call somewhere and that person has my same name. And I know that there's something going on, like since it starts to be doubled, the Lord like really like pay attention. You know, there's a prophetic something happening here. And so so we were praying and in this prayer group, and the Lord just started to put these pieces together, like these puzzle pieces together, this couple praying, like the Lord was showing me, what was it? He was showing me that this particular man had, oh, I know what it was. I had seen him in a parking lot a couple times, past the car, and I said, which I thought was to myself, but I didn't know this was the Holy Spirit. I see that you're there, caller 201. And as soon as I share this, I'm going to come minister to you. Okay, I really feel like I'm supposed to share this. I've not thought about this in years. And so we had been praying and gathering for quite some time, for a few months, okay? And when he had passed my car a couple times, I was like in the car waiting for my husband to, you know, get in the car. I would say he's had a dark side to him somehow. I don't know what it is, but somehow there's the dark side to him. But I really thought it was me. Like, I really thought that that was my thought and that I was judging him. And I would say, Lord, I don't want to judge him, because I didn't know that. Like, I don't know that that's true, and I didn't want to judge him. But I had thought that a couple times in my car. So in this prayer meeting, when we came in, he literally got there a little bit later. So he plopped down next to me because the seat was open. So then while we're sitting there, this other couple, I'm talking to the Lord, and the Lord is actually speaking through these other people that are praying. And I was like, oh, God, like he's putting something together, because this is so real and live in the moment, okay? And I heard the Lord say, like, well, and I heard this word, which I thought was me. He has like this dark side to him or whatever, you know? And I said, no, I don't want to judge him. But three times it happened to me when I was sitting next to him. And then I started asking the Lord, you know, well, what do you want me to pray? What do you want me to do? And then he was praying through this couple, literally. I knew this husband and this wife. And he literally was praying these words through them that the Lord was showing me to pray. And then, I prayed something, and then I turned to him and the others, and I said, you know what, I feel like I'm supposed to pray for you. Now, this was God's counsel, his wisdom, and the spirit of might was on this. I said, I really feel like I'm supposed to pray for you. Do you mind if I do? And he said, no, I don't mind at all. And so I remember part of it was being the Lord was showing me in his word that we were armor. We have an armor like of light. We're bearers of armor of light. And I forget what I was praying. I just was praying, and I just like kind of broke off this. It was like he was going through medieval times, and I was breaking off this darkness and these things that were coming against him, and declaring that he had this light and this shield on his armor of light on him. And so I prayed a couple times, because sometimes when it's prophetic, it goes around in a circle. You do a loop, okay, so you get an exit ramp. And so he said to me what happened. I had no idea what his story was, but he said after about the first or second sentence, he said, I felt whatever that was break off of me. And he said, I had so much joy. He said, but I wanted to let you finish praying. He goes, but I had so much joy that I could almost have laughed. But I didn't want you to be offended thinking I was laughing at you. I said, oh my gosh. I mean, I was praying with my eyes closed. I probably, lesson learned for me, right? I probably should have just prayed looking at him. And so what happened, long story short, so I can get my caller, he had a twin brother, and they were in a their car went over the railroad tracks. He lost his brother, and his mother, and so he had dealt with that for a long time, just the oppression of death and being so close to death in that way, and what that meant for their family, the expression from his mom, and all that. So this whole time, the Lord's counsel and his wisdom were coming to me, I did not want to judge this man. See, the nature of my heart was, no, like, I don't want to pin that person on that when I have no idea. So what I'm saying is my nature was compassion. And it was, but the Lord was trying to show me something. And I was saying, I don't want to judge him. And I wasn't judging him, but I thought the thought was my thought, but it was the Holy Spirit. So, we need to just judge that thought before the Lord, because if we're happy to tell people these things or excited that the Lord shared that with us and that we need to, expose this or whatever the nature is to it, the nature is not restoration. The nature is not, to reconcile that, through the, because if you look up Colossians, okay, we're going to do it together because it's very much like Hebrews 13. I mean, almost Colossians 1. And I can't tell you how many times I write this even with people. So, Colossians 1:20, and by him, Jesus, to reconcile all things to himself. Jesus is reconciling all things to himself. By him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood to Hebrews 13:20 through 21, which is very similar in Numbers. Our Lord Jesus Christ is the great shepherd of the sheep, the God who gives peace, brought him back from the dead, right? Even through the son's blood, we just read, which is reconciling it. He did it because of the blood of the eternal covenant. May God supply you with everything good. What does he want to supply? He wants to supply good. Then you can do what he wants. Yeah. May he do in us what is pleasing to him. That's exactly the work that he did in me. That I would do what he wanted, right? And that it was pleasing to him. And we can only do it with the help of Jesus Christ and give him glory forever. And this is what a great shepherd, that is the reflection of a great shepherd. And may it be seen, why do you do that? May it be seen, may it be known, and may it be experienced in this day and in this hour in Jesus' name. We have increase in that. Okay, do you need, my dog is growling at me. Okay, caller 201-892. Good evening. Where are you calling from?
Hello.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Hello. Now. How are you?
Okay, good. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. I was calling in for prayer.
Yes, ma'am. Who am I speaking to?
My name is Nicole.
Nicole. Okay. Well, thank you for joining us, Nicole. How can we pray for you?
I would like this prayer for direction.
Direction? Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Go ahead. Go. Check a little dog out. Okay. Thank you, Father, for Nicole. Lord, we thank you, Father. For her heart, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you would join her heart to yours, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that you would knit her together in your love, Lord, with your Holy Spirit and with your Son, Father. We thank you, Lord, and come into agreement with her regarding direction on her life, God. We thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for you working in her life, Lord. We thank you, God, that you are active and working in her life, Lord, in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord, for carving out the path that she's to walk in, God, that she could see it, Lord. I thank you that her feet, Lord, like I see her feet are on the path, but kind of like when you walk through a, not necessarily a jungle, but like a, like where there's lots of trees, like a wooded area or a tree area where you have to like move the branches and move the things, the obstacles and the things away from your face so that you can see, but your feet are actually on the path, but there's things that are being moved and you know, that you're participating in that are moving and being drawn back so that you can see the path that you're on till it becomes clearer and clearer and more open. But I literally see your feet, and your feet literally are on a path. It's very narrow. And I think this has to do with what's happening all around you and coming through, like, I want to call it a jungle area, but it might not be that severe. But like this tree and this wooded, you know, area, again, you're participating in it to help to clear it so that you can see it. And I think it's going to bring you into a broad place. You know, so right now it's narrow. You're walking narrowly on the path, but you're on it, on a path.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Lord is using, you know, different things for you to have greater clarity in the direction that you're going in and where you're headed. And that it would become broader, like, so the place where you're walking and stepping would become a broader place. But once you can see clearer, when there's not so many things, you know, whether they're distractions or obstacles, and or things that need to be removed that you're participating in, or potentially, or possibly, I should say, all three of those. But so I just thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that her feet, God, stay tethered to the path of righteousness for your name's sake, God. We thank you, Lord, that is not an option. God, that is set in agreement, that is set with your heart. In Jesus' name, we thank you for it, Father, in the name of Jesus. Lord, I thank you, Lord, that you would, again, Lord, just strengthen her with your grace, God, to remove these things, Lord, that she could see clearer, God. And we thank you for her participation, God, even in faith and obedience, Lord. It's bringing maturity, God. But we do pray, God, for greater clarity, for her direction. And we thank you for your guidance and your instruction along the way, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Yes, thank you so much.
Thank you.
And when you were saying, when you said like coming up, like a, you don't want to say a jungle, but that's what actually it felt like. Because I was being stalked and harassed for like 6 years. And I was on the right path. Yeah, I was on the right path. I was doing ministry. I was, you know, doing work. And all of a sudden, everything came to an end because I was getting harassed and stalked. And it was every day for 6 years. So now that I relocated to a new place, I'm trying to get on the right path. And it's like I'm walking there, but you're absolutely right. Like your vision is like, seems like, okay, I can't really see too clearly. Like, I said, that's from the Lord because I can't. Like, I'm trying to.
Yeah.
I'm walking.
Yeah.
But I'm just, you know, definitely. So.
Yeah. But I did see, and that, though, just to, for assurance sake, I was seeing your feet, and it literally, even though there was stuff around it, but it literally, there was like this carved out path and your feet were on it.
Can you give me clarify a little bit on that? Like, what does that mean?
Well, kind of, I don't know that I could have other words than what I've already said, but your feet are on the path. And it's just that you're participating in moving things out of the way so that you can see clearer, you know, whether those are distractions or and as you continue to do that, it's going to become a broader place, and then your path will become more like a wider, so that you can see it and it's clear.
Okay.
But your steps, like you're taking the right steps and you're going in the right direction. It's just, you're coming out of it kind of, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, thank you so much. Like, this has been like a bumpy rolling coaster, and I just want to, even though I seem like I came out much stronger, but now I need the people. You've been through all that stuff. How did you make it? It really is God. A lot of praying through all that stuff. It's hard to pray when somebody's always constantly around you and bothering you all day. So, but that's God. But, you know, I'm definitely going to continue to pray as I'm, like you said, participating. Just try to stay on the right path and move forward.
Yeah, and removing the distractions and stuff. Yeah, because you are, and that, let me just look up something real quick for you. I won't read it here, but I just want to make sure before I even suggest that you read it in your private time, I want to make sure I'm giving you the right one.
Okay.
Okay, let me just see what the title of this is. I have it in a, it's Psalms 40, and it talks about faith persevering in trial. So you can read that on your own, whatever version you before the Lord.
Okay, Psalms 40.
Yeah, Psalms 40, faith persevering in trial. Yeah. And so you might not be going through some of that right now. It might be a little, but maybe it's part of when you mentioned something about a friend asking you, how have you done it? You probably could identify with some of that you've already been. Yeah.
Okay, great. So I'll meditate on Psalms 40.
Okay, well, thank you so much
for waiting and calling.
Yeah,
thanks for coming into agreement with me. I appreciate it.
Oh, yes, anytime. Okay, bless you.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye. Okay, 910-709, good evening.
Hi, this is Sylvia from North Carolina.
Hi, Sylvia, how are you doing?
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you doing?
Good.
Do you have a report of the Lord for us?
Oh, yes. I just got back yesterday.
Okay.
From Florida. Yes, I went to minister in Florida. And it was amazing. God used me at the altar for healings, mental as well as physical healings were manifested. It was great. God had me give my testimony, and it was the pastor that I went with, she translated it into Spanish. We had some indigenous tribes there, and it was amazing. Yes. So
that's beautiful.
Yes, it was good. So he said, I was even ministered to when he says that I was in training. That's what the first trip was about, and it was the beginning of Open Doors. And from there, he says the pastor that took me in is like, she's my mentor, but eventually, you know, he says that I would have my own ministry. I won't, be traveling with her. So So it's for a season that I would travel
yeah.
with her. So
wow,
he says, I'm
that's
going
wonderful.
Out again. Yeah, he says, I'm going out again, you know, after this one. So
yeah.
it was great. Great experience.
Oh, that's wonderful. What a blessing for you and the people and the glory of God to be known
Amen.
Amongst, you know, his people. Wow, that's beautiful. Thank you so much. I did think of you. I don't remember what day it was because I remember I was doing something and I said, oh, wait, I think these are the dates that she's gone. And so, yeah, this past weekend,
yes.
yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, and I prayed, and I should have wrote down, I was thinking, I should have wrote down what day that was, but I didn't. But anyway, I did think of you and pray. So praise God
well,
for
thank
that.
Thank you. We're supposed to have three services at two different
uh-huh.
churches, but the whole church had COVID. So
oh,
we
my
didn't
goodness.
Make it there. Yeah, so we didn't
wow.
make it there. We stayed in one church a morning, 10:15 service, and then a 6 o'clock service. So
okay.
that was great.
Wow, that's good. Now, no one on your team came back with any illness or anything?
Oh, no. Oh, no. We didn't go to that church. We stayed in one church and, you know, pretty much everybody, you know, was masked, but it was great.
Oh, that's wonderful.
They call us
that's
ahead
wonderful.
Of time to tell us that, you know, the pastors call ahead of time to tell us that they were sick as well as other members.
Okay.
And they,
well,
and
I'm
they,
sorry.
And she said that they didn't, none of them had taken the vaccine.
Oh, okay. Wow, the whole church, oh my goodness, that's wild. Well, I'm glad you guys, you know, were with all of your travels that you did not become ill or sick or anything.
Yes.
That's
praise
awesome.
The Lord.
Yes. Praise the Lord. Okay, let me pray for you. Father, I just thank you, Lord, for Sylvia. God, we thank her servant's heart. Lord, for you calling her out. Lord, we thank you, Lord. And where your word says, you watch our going out and our coming in, you know, and you just watch over her, God, from this day and furthermore, Lord, in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord, that you are even teaching her how to maneuver in different ways that are like there's skillfulness and how you maneuver with the Holy Spirit and who you're going to reach and the things that you're going, you know, the things that you're going to do with those that you reach. But I see mostly there's like a maneuvering, a skillfulness and maneuvering that maybe many other people are not maybe qualified or equipped, I guess equipped is a better word,
uh-huh.
equipped to do and to manage in that way. But part of it is, I don't even know if part of it is like, I want to say cleaning up the church, but then that, I mean, when I say that, it then people's minds, they take that into their own perspective and their own, you know.
Did you say cleaning up?
Yeah, I did.
Yes, I've heard that before. He says that, yeah, cleaning up, meaning issues that people have. I've heard that before, that that's what he was using me for, was to clean up.
Oh, okay, because I,
did,
I almost didn't want to say it.
Yeah.
I didn't want to say it. Because it can be misconstrued by, you know, interpreted in so many different ways. It's so wild that you would even give evidence to that. Okay.
Yes,
and
I know
like confirm it. But yes, that's it. But it literally is. It's like a there's skillfulness and equipped to maneuver in such a ways that you can find, like, you know, even these little nooks and crannies, maybe even, you know. But it is a way, there is a way, and some of that function is is cleaning up. Other part of it is just being able to, like, you're actually bringing, you know, your anointing or, you know, the giftedness that the Lord's placed within you, because you're skilled and able to maneuver in those places, you're able to also distribute what Christ has deposited in you in those places as well, you know, where, like, some people might just do, well, I was going to say, like, the broad places, but you're, there's just a certain, it's just a spiritual, I don't even know, it might be part of just a spiritual discernment to know how to maneuver into a certain place and to reach it, to be able to bring that healing and be able to release that anointing, to be able to, you know, whatever needs to be done, whether it's releasing the anointing, cleaning up, maneuvering, the skillfulness, the equipping, you know, but it is very functioning. It's very functioning and very much of Christ in all of those ways. And very, again, I would say skillfulness. There's a skillfulness in equipping. And it's, I think that you know probably some of it right now. And then I also think he's going to be teaching, you're going to be learning even more how to maneuver into those places.
Yeah, into more.
And say, just like I didn't really want to say cleaning up, I was like hesitant, but like that's what I was getting. And so that's what I released, you know, but so even in that, that's teachable to me. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's teachable. Yeah, and so he's going to be where you're like, oh, am I going to maneuver in this place? Do I have this? Because it might not be things that you see other people doing or have you seen them doing. But the Lord is, you know, while there's similarities and at large there might be, you know, where he's loving his flock and you're shepherding. But have you seen anyone do it uniquely like that? You know, or really being taught by the Holy Spirit, I guess is what I'm saying, to precisely release your anointing, release how you're equipped and how you're called. So, praise the Lord.
Okay.
That's a good word. Yeah, I'm excited
Amen,
for you.
It is.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
That's
a- Go ahead.
Yes, because this, when you said cleaning up, I knew exactly what you meant because I received the word one day, and he says that he was moving things swiftly with me because his churches need to be cleaned up with people with, that aren't being healed and are not being delivered.
Wow.
So I did receive that word. So when you said cleaned up, I knew exactly what you meant.
Wow. Well, praise the Lord for confirmation.
Yes, amen. I thought I heard
good.
You say clean up, and then I heard you hesitate. So I said, yeah,
yeah.
So he, I think it was like maybe about a month ago, that word came as well, saying that he was, you know, he was getting in a hurry because his people needed to be healed and delivered, and he was using me to clean up the churches. So,
that's beautiful.
yes. Yes, and you know, while I was there, he said that he was strengthening my body. I didn't hurt. I remember I had the back issue. I had no pain in my body. The sinuses didn't bother me. Everything was smooth. As a matter of fact, my pastor was the one who she couldn't take the heat. And I was actually surprised because I had no issues. I was like, thank you, Jesus. He said he was going to strengthen my body while I was there, and it was great.
Wow. Yeah, I've heard people say, but I declare that for you, that your body is strengthened and you don't have to go back to those things, you know. But I definitely heard people talk about how God and his anointing, you know, that they function out of that special grace, you know, as a minister. So were you guys at outside at all or no? It's just overall because it was Florida. Was it Florida, right?
It was all because it was Florida. She used to live there, and because we had fasted since June the 21st, so our fast was continuing. Yeah, we were fasted since June the 21st, so our fasted was ending Sunday, so we were out in the heat, and she got weakened, I guess, because, you know, we were just having fruits and vegetables. And so she wasn't accustomed to, she wasn't accustomed to that heat anymore. So she was weakened the whole while we was there. Even if we just, it was so hot there, it was, because she can't take heat and I can't take heat. But I was actually surprised that I was able to take it, because I ended up, I guess God sustained me, because I had to drive the car. Because, you know, she wasn't able to drive because, because she was weak and she was just so tired. And so then we stayed with a missionary. So we spent most of the, like, mornings praying and afternoons praying. And in between, you know, we did laugh and talk. And it was and then she poured into us, you know, when we were there.
Wow.
So it was very nice.
Oh, that's
and
nice.
She
yeah.
Yeah. So God said that the reason why the pastor had taken us there is because she needed a refreshing as well, because, you know, she was lonely and she lives by herself. She's 77. And so while we were there, she was refreshed. So it was a nice weekend. Mm-hmm. So she's waiting to go back on the mission field.
Now, where does she do missions?
All over. She said she's been
like
everywhere.
South America
sometimes.
Or?
She Brazil. She's Philippines.
Okay.
Yeah, she's.
Oh.
She says she goes anywhere. You know. So she said. So she's waiting to go back out. She said because a lot of the countries are not letting you in.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, our other pastor, we were just, John and I were both touching base with him today through the mail, but he said he's been to 45 countries him and his wife traveled. Yeah, and I said, oh, well, I've been to 4 or 5 countries.
I haven't been to one yet, but I was prophesied that I would. I can't wait. She told me how she a witch doctor was going to cut her neck. I mean, all sorts of stories. Jail.
Wow.
I was like, wow. She says she's 77, and she's been going since she was in her 20s.
Oh, wow. Wow. Oh, my goodness.
She said she got saved, and in 3 months, God had her on the mission field. From the time she got saved.
Wow, that's interesting.
Yeah,
we
she said that she.
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
She said she felt like God rushed hurry up and said, well, I better get her out here before she changed her mind. So she said she was gone in 3 months. She said she answered a call, and in 3 months she said the first place she had went to was the Philippines.
Wow. Now, has she ever been married or have kids, family, or no?
Yes, she has kids, and she was married, but I think she married young, and she said she divorced. She was divorced, and she said after she got divorced, she just told the Lord that she never wanted to be married again and that she would just dedicate her life to him.
Yeah.
So she said, and then 2 months later, she said the most gorgeous man showed up and wanted to, you know, talk, you know, be with her. And she said that was the hardest temptation. She had to tell him no. because she felt like it was a test, you know, after she had said she's going to dedicate her life to the man. She said, but she told him no. And and she said she told him no. And then she said, and since then, she says she just don't entertain it. She just lives for God.
Yeah.
You
wow.
know, yeah. That's and she
incredible.
Says she's not interested in marriage.
Okay. Wow. Wow. That's good. That's a lot to learn from her, it sounds like.
Yeah, she told me, I mean, she, you know, I was asking her what kind of food did they eat over there. She said she wanted to take me on one. So I told her, I said, I'm a funny eater. I don't know if I would make it in another country.
Yeah.
She said we would have to live with them. And she told me about the time that they cooked a meat goat, but all the hair was still on the goat.
Oh,
and she says that you she says and the chief was sitting there, right? And she says if you don't eat their food, they get offended. And she said it seems as though they want to do something to you if you don't eat their food. So she says that when the chief would turn his head, she would take the meat and throw it on somebody else's plate. She says, well, they didn't have to eat it. She said, and then one of the other missionaries, she said, would start regurgitating and just would look at it and couldn't eat it. So I told her I wouldn't make it. I told her I wouldn't make it over there because I'm a funny eater. I don't eat everything.
Yeah. Oh, that's funny. Oh, my gosh.
Well,
that's great.
She said
That's
she was
funny.
Throwing it on the other plates. I thought, no, I wouldn't be able to eat like that. And she said, and you have to stay outside and do this. I said, you would be ready to send me back home. I said, because I wouldn't be able to do all that. I said, if you let me go stay in the I can't take heat. I said, if you let me stay in the air conditioner and maybe, you know, find, you know, our kind of food, then I could probably do it. But if you want me to do the other, I don't think I would last a day.
You're going to have to pack some granola protein bars.
That's what
you're going to and hard-boiled eggs. That's
I know. I told her I wouldn't last. I said, but if God sent me over there, I says, I hope there's a McDonald's somewhere or some rice. I can live off rice.
I told her
she says that she thinks that I will be going to other countries. But I told her, I think I'm going to be air-conditioned hotel.
So you're going to go over to Europe, that side of the it's a little bit nicer to serve as opposed to South America and Central America.
Anyway, on the fast, the doctor had wanted me to lose to a certain amount of weight. And I'm actually there now, and I just want you to say a short prayer that I sustain my
praise the Lord.
Blood pressure went down, hasn't been up.
Awesome.
Yes, I want to maintain
a
healthy, I feel like God is leading me to maintain this lifestyle of of eating healthy, you know, in order to be able to do what he's called me to do. You know, I've
cut sugar.
Yeah, that's
wonderful.
So just short prayer that I would, you know, be able to sustain how I'm eating, you know, now and cutting down on things.
Yes, let's pray for that. Because John lost about 33 pounds, and he is feeling better. Yeah, he's really been working on it. He's walking a lot and doing a lot of different things, but he is eating better. He's feeling better. He's sleeping better. Just, you know, so.
And I'm doing
the
same. And you don't realize how that food, you know, we don't realize how the food makes us feel. Yes. And what it does to the body.
Yeah.
Yes.
So That's very good. So praise God for that too. There's such a benefit into being healthy, you know. So that's good.
Yes.
So many benefits, yeah. So, I mean, actually, you know, I was telling John, the benefits help us to maintain it, to want to continue, because, you know,
yes,
we feel better, we sleep better, yeah. So which that's a good bonus. But, yes, let me pray. So, Father, we just thank you, Lord, for Sylvia, God, and just reaching. Lord, even, you know, the doctor's suggestion and request, God, for the sake of health, Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you would put your preservation upon that. In Jesus' name, Lord, we thank you, Father, that Sylvia will be mindful of that, Lord, and that this is her desire, Father God. And we thank you, Lord, just for the changes that you're doing in her and through her, God, and for the greater glory of Christ, God. And so we thank you, Lord, that it would be preserved and maintained, Lord, that she can continue to go out and to serve you and to be a salt and light to all those who come in contact with her, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you. Good to hear your voice and to catch up
you
a bit.
Too.
So praise God for that. Yeah. Thank
all
you
right.
so much
well,
for
you.
Calling in. Take
okay.
up with you.
Okay. Bye. You too.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye. Well, thank you, everyone. Thank you for joining us and have a good evening. And Randy will be your beloved pastor, prophet. We'll be here at I'm in Eastern time, so I want to say 10 o'clock, but 9 o'clock Central. Okay, shalom.